But tonight, I'd like for us to focus on something that we have all been called to do. Brothers and sisters in Christ, we have a mission. We have a calling to help each other come to know Christ and to bring as many people as we can to Christ. Therefore, they can know Him too. If we need an example of how exactly to carry this out and be successful, perhaps that we've been alluding to in the past few weeks, the Gospel of John, chapter 4, is a very good example of this. And if you would like, I encourage you to turn there because that will be our main text this evening. John chapter 4. Of course, this is the text where the woman of Samaria is engaging in a very enlightening conversation with Jesus. Little by little, He begins to reveal Himself to her. And little by little, she begins to know more and more of who He is. But when we come to verse 25 of John chapter 4, the woman said to Him, "I know that Messiah is coming, who is called Christ. When He comes, He will tell us all things." You can see at this juncture, she doesn't make the complete connection. There's still a short. She doesn't quite fully grasp as to who Jesus is. So in verse 26, Jesus said to her, "I who speak to you am He." Jesus begins connecting the dots. Those gaps are starting to be filled. Is this truly, the Samaritan woman wonders, the man to whom she was wondering about? After all, earlier, she said that she perceived Jesus to be a prophet. And now she says that she knows the Messiah is coming, who is called the Christ. Is the same person the prophet, the Messiah, the Christ? Jesus claimed He is. He says, "I who speak to you am He." Sometimes we need to understand what was written before so that things that are said now can make sense, especially if we are to understand what prophecies were written about Christ and how they were fulfilled. Let's see if we can connect these very dots. In the Old Testament, book of Deuteronomy, there in chapter 18 and in verse 15, God promised something very important to those of the tribe of Levi, especially that were carrying out the law of Moses. Here in Deuteronomy chapter 18 and verse 15, we read, "The Lord your God would raise up for you a prophet like me from your midst, from your brethren. Him you shall hear, according to all you desired in the Lord your God in Horeb, in the day of the assembly, saying, 'Let me not hear again the voice of the Lord my God, nor let me see this great fire any more, lest I die.'" People were afraid at one point to hear the voice of the Lord. Now Jesus has come to speak the words of the Lord. You recall that Jesus said that He does not speak of His own authority, but whatever He hears from His Father is what He should speak. As God had sent Jesus to the world, yes, in that regard, Jesus truly was a prophet, one who speaks forth for God. And it was back in verse 19 of which this woman said, "Sir, I perceive that you are a prophet." So we know that Jesus is the prophet that was speaking before. But here in verse 25 of John chapter 4, the woman also knows that the Messiah is coming, who is also called the Christ. Has there also been prophecies regarding the Messiah? Well, I believe you know, and I believe I know, that the answer is the affirmative. Certainly there are many prophets that foretold about the Messiah. But one in particular I'd like for us to look at is in the book of Daniel. In the book of Daniel, the 9th chapter, notice what was said beginning in verse 24 as Daniel begins to talk about his vision. Daniel chapter 9 and in verse 24. 70 weeks are determined for your people and for your holy city to finish the transgression, to make an end of sins, to make reconciliation for iniquity, to bring in everlasting righteousness, to seal up vision and prophecy, and to anoint the Most Holy. Know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the command to restore and build Jerusalem until Messiah the Prince, there shall be 7 weeks and 62 weeks. The street shall be built again, and the wall even in troublesome times. And after the 62 weeks, Messiah shall be cut off, but not for himself. And the people of the Prince who is to come shall destroy the city and the sanctuary. The end of it shall be with the flood. Until the end of the war, desolations are determined. Then he shall confirm a covenant with many for 1 week. But in the middle of the week, he shall bring an end to sacrifice and offering. And on the wing of abominations shall be one who makes desolate, even until the consummation, which is determined, is poured out on the desolate. There's only one that can be the Messiah, that can put an end to all sins, that can make an end of transgression, to reconcile those that have committed iniquity. And who is that one Messiah? Well, of course, it is the Christ, the Son of the living God. Just as Daniel prophesied this, the woman of Samaria came to realize this. Did you notice that she was not the only one? But if you go just a few chapters earlier in the Gospel of John, chapter 1, you find that Andrew was the brother to Simon Peter. And it was Andrew that brought Peter to Jesus. Do you remember what it was that Andrew said to Peter when he brought him to Jesus? In John chapter 1, verse 41, we read, "He first found his own brother Simon and said to him, 'We have found the Messiah,'" which is translated, the Christ. "And he brought him to Jesus. Now when Jesus looked at him, he said, 'You are Simon, the son of Jonah. You shall be called Cephas,'" which is translated, "a stone." How did Andrew recognize that Jesus was the Messiah? How did the woman of Samaria come to understand Jesus is the prophet? He is the Messiah who is called the Christ. No doubt the things that have been foretold were passed down unto them. They had an understanding. They learned what the Old Testament scriptures spoke of. But then as Jesus came to fulfill those things, all eyes have been enlightened. But sometimes it's an immediate eye-opener, and other times we squint, and slowly but surely our eyes get bigger and bigger and bigger until we can come to the understanding. Well, what did it take for this woman to understand? Well, as we continue with our text in John chapter 4 and verse 27, that at this point his disciples came, and they marveled that he talked with the woman, yet no one said, what do you seek? Or why are you talking with her? The woman then left her water pot, went her way into the city, and said to the men, "Come, see a man who told me all things that I ever did. Could this be the Christ?" Perhaps you can sense a little bit of uncertainty. Well, Jesus had told me many things that nobody else perhaps had knew. Or perhaps others knew but are afraid to talk about. But if Jesus never encountered her before, how was it that he would know everything about her? Therefore, there had to be something very unique about Jesus. So she begins to go and tell others what she had seen, what she had heard, that there is more to this fellow, perhaps, that meets the eye. But you know there are many other people that did the very same thing. But there is one interesting difference. Look with me now, quickly, at the Gospel of Mark. There in the Gospel of Mark, in chapter 5, we encounter a man that Jesus had done something to. A man that was demon-possessed. And if you were like him, you would want your demons to be cast out. And after Jesus had done so, in verse 18 of Mark chapter 5, we're told that when he got into the boat, he who had been demon-possessed begged him that he might be with him. However, Jesus did not permit him, but said to him, "Go home to your friends and tell them what great things the Lord has done for you and how he has had compassion on you." And he departed and began to proclaim in Decapolis all that Jesus had done for him, and all marveled. Perhaps this individual had a very good intention, knowing that Jesus had done something for him, and he was going to go about his way, and no doubt do something else for somebody else. He wanted to be a part of that. Perhaps he would accompany Jesus and be one of his great assistants. But Jesus had another plan in mind. Instead of accompanying Jesus, he sent him back. He could be of greater help by going to a different area, one where he knew the people well, one that he could say, "This is what I have seen with my own eyes. This is what I have heard with my own ears. This is what Jesus did for me." And can you imagine what they would think that Jesus could do for them? What could Jesus do for you? And what could he do for me? Perhaps help us to get a better understanding to who he really is. There was one other individual that needed that understanding. This individual is mentioned in the Gospel of Luke in chapter 7. This individual had a very important role, one to come before Jesus. And he and others knew that there was one that is coming after him that would be mightier than he, whose sandal strap he said he is not worthy to stoop down and loose. One that must increase, but he must decrease. Yes, you know who that is. That is John. And John had many disciples himself, many that followed after him. But in Luke chapter 7 and verse 22, Jesus responds to the people that John had sent to inquire after him. Jesus answered and said to them, "Go and tell John the things that you have seen and heard, that the blind see, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, the poor have the gospel preached unto them. And blessed is he who is not offended because of me." There are those that still stumble, those that still struggle to comprehend who Jesus is. But he says, instead of you going and giving John an answer that I say, why don't you tell him what you saw? Why don't you tell him what you heard? You're here. You were a witness. Go and share those very things. Did you notice the difference in these two parallel passages? What was not included with the Samaritan woman? Jesus did not command her to go. But yet, she saw a need immediately and rose to meet that need. She did not have to wait to be told. Instead, she went out and did it. And as she did so, verse 30, going back to John chapter 4, tells us, "Then they went out of the city and came to him." Can you imagine that? What was it that she said? How did she go about telling it? Well, firsthand, she had the experience. She was with Jesus. Jesus told her many things about her past. She knew that Jesus knew. And maybe there was something unique, perhaps about his words, perhaps about his manner, that distinguished him from everyone else. And so because of her influence, they went out of the city and came to him. But that's not the end of the story. What happened when they came to Jesus? Well, let's pick back up in that transition. Because as we drop down to verse 39, we begin to find the reason that they came to Jesus. John chapter 4 and verse 39. And many of the Samaritans of that city believed in him because of the word of the woman who testified, "He told me all that I ever did." This woman had a very powerful word, a message that said, "Look what I've seen, and come and hear what I've heard." And perhaps just by her saying those words, it caused many to believe. Is that also what happens throughout the entire New Testament? When Jesus commanded some to go and tell what they have seen and what they have heard, aren't we told that many believe? You know, that's nothing different than you and me today. Aren't we commissioned to go and tell what we have seen, what we have heard? We may not have seen or heard what people did when Jesus walked the earth, but I have seen God alive in my life. I have His Word to tell me who He is, what He has already done, and what He's promised that He will continue to do, provided I follow in His example. And so, when we look at this woman and her words, yes, there were many that believed. But many is not all, is it? If you were to get a percentage of the people here, and if I were to ask you to take a poll, I might say, many of us believe, but that doesn't include everybody, does it? There might be some that disagree. There might be others that are not included. Well, just because the woman produced many, that doesn't believe that every single person she went to would believe. What about the rest? Well, let's keep reading. Verse 40 of John chapter 4. So when the Samaritans had come to him, they urged him to stay with them, and he stayed there 2 days. And many more believed because of his own word. Many more believed. There were many that already believed, but now when they heard Jesus speaking himself, they began to believe as well. Now we can see how the word is spreading and the word is growing. Why do you think that many more believed when they would hear Jesus? Well, perhaps Jesus is the greatest teacher ever, isn't he? He knew the Old Testament scriptures very, very well. He even came to fulfill the things that were written about him. And as he begins to expound upon these things, perhaps there was something different in the way that he spoke. In fact, 3 of the Gospels tell us something very, very similar. If you were to look at either Matthew chapter 7 and verse 29, or Mark chapter 1 and verse 22, or Luke chapter 4 and verse 32, you would find the answer to what was different about Jesus. He spoke as one having authority, and not as the scribes. Many times a question was asked Jesus about the law. He knew it well. And if they were to ask him, "But this was written in the law of Moses, what do you say?" Remember, Jesus often said, "You have heard it has been said," or "This is what is written. Nevertheless, I say to you," there was a difference. Jesus commanded because he was given all authority. We learn this from Matthew chapter 28 and verse 18. Jesus said, "All authority has been given unto me, both in heaven and on earth." Yes, the way he spoke was very, very different. And if we are to rely upon things that were written before, we have to have the approval of Jesus Christ. Especially in the last few weeks when we talked about why does certain things mean now that might mean different then? Why is something all right at one point and not all right at another point? Or is something consistently wrong or something consistently right? Well, if Jesus referred to it and upholds it, it's the truth. But since Jesus has authority or he says otherwise, then certainly we have a disagreement. And therefore, we have to go by what Christ has to say. But there was something else about the way he spoke. Not only did he have authority, his words also had something that nobody else could say. They had substance. And there is something to them that would last forever. When you go to the Gospel of John, then in chapter 6, you find Jesus having a very important discussion with his disciples. And sadly, there were some that even were offended at the things that he said. But as he begins to point out in John chapter 6, verse 63, he says, "It is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak to you are spirit and they are life." Who else could speak words of spirit and of life? Only Jesus. And his disciples knew that. As sadly people began to turn after following him, you recall there was one that made a very important question. When he dropped down to John chapter 6, this time coming down to verse 68, Simon Peter answered and said unto Jesus, "Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life." Do you think the Samaritan woman began to realize Jesus had the words of everlasting life? Didn't he already promise to give her living water, that she would be thirsty again if she continued to drink of that water? But Jesus had water that would always fill her, that she would never thirst. He said that back in John chapter 4 and in verse 14. Now we begin to realize the importance of understanding Jesus. What he says and how he says it is just as important now as it is back then. And how do we know? Because his very words are still with us. Even later in the Gospel of John, the 17th chapter, you'll recall that Jesus was praying to his Father before undertaking that task of dying upon the cross. And during his discourse in prayer, he begins to pray not only for himself, but also for his disciples, and then for anybody else that would believe on him through the very word. And notice what Jesus said in verse 8 of John chapter 17. He says, "For I have given to them the words which you have given me, and they have received them, and have known surely that I came forth from you, and they have believed that you sent me." Makes perfect sense, doesn't it? His Father gave him the word to speak, and Jesus spoke his word as long as he was here. And then, little by little, he gave the apostles his word. They, perhaps, gave the words to others. And on down till even today, we have the very words of God. Remember how Paul described God's word to Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 3 and in verse 16? He said, "All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. It is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped unto every good work." Yes, the pages that we have in our very Bibles is all the entire Word of God. We can read it. we can know exactly this is what Jesus said. This is exactly what Jesus did. And if I do exactly as he says, I can have everlasting life. And so is it any wonder that the same word exists now? It always will. And that's the comfort that Peter reminded Christians. In 1 Peter chapter 1, beginning in verse 23, Peter reminds us that we were born again, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible, through the Word of God which lives and abides forever. Because all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of the grass. The grass withers, and its flower fails away, but the Word of the Lord endures forever. Now this is the Word which by the Gospel was preached unto you. Jesus preached to the Samaritans. The woman of Samaria brought the word of Jesus to others. And you can see how many began to believe based upon one woman's efforts. What does that mean? Well, that they came to believe and realize who Jesus is. They didn't necessarily rely upon the woman, but instead they came to realize for themselves. As we conclude with our text in John chapter 4, we have to go one more verse. Because in verse 42, they finally said to the woman, "Now we believe, not because of what you said, for we ourselves have heard him, and we know that this is indeed the Christ, the Savior of the world." You know, there are a lot of people today that want to believe, but don't really. They're not sincere because they are too busy trying to appease their friends, their neighbors, their family members, their co-workers, and everybody else that it may concern. Well, I don't really want to, but just to make you happy, I'll go along with it. Brethren, this cannot be in terms of our eternal salvation. We can't go along with what other people say just because they do. We have to come to know the truth for ourselves. We need our own faith. Paul told the Romans in chapter 10, verse 17, that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Do I get my faith because someone else heard? No, I get my faith from what I hear. And without that faith, the book of Hebrews, chapter 11, verse 6, teaches that we cannot please God. He says, without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seeks him. I've got to diligently seek the Lord. I can't seek somebody that I don't know, somebody else knows, because I won't know who I'm looking for or what I expect to find. And once I come to the realization that I know who Jesus is, I know what he has done for me, then only I can do something for myself. If I don't do this now, I'll have to do this later on. And you know, it's not going to be easy the second opportunity. But in fact, it'll be impossible, because that opportunity has already come and gone. Paul told the Romans in chapter 14 and in verse 12 that each of us shall give account of himself to God. I can't stand before God on the judgment day and say, you know, brother so-and-so believed in you and I certainly believed in him. But instead I've got to say, do I believe in you? Have I done exactly what you told me to do? Or what about the words of Peter? He reminds us in 1 Peter chapter 4, beginning in verse 5, that they will give an account to him who is ready to judge the living and the dead. And for this reason, the gospel was preached also to those who are dead, that they might be judged according to men in the flesh, but live according to God in the Spirit. At one point, we are all dead spiritually. But coming to know Christ can give us the opportunity to live spiritually. And so when we look back at what all influence the woman of Samaria had, one person encouraged many people to believe and brought many people to believe in Jesus. Are you and I that one person? Is there someone that we know that can go to and lead to Christ? Can we do that this week? Can we do that the rest of this year? It is our duty. It is our commission to share the good news with Christ. And therefore, if we do our part, God is going to do His. Isn't that how the Lord's church continues to grow? In Acts chapter 2, when the church first started upon the day of Pentecost, do you remember exactly how it happened? Peter preached what to do in order to be saved. And when people were saved, verse 47 tells us, the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. It's your job and my job to help bring anybody else into the body of Christ. It is God's job to add the saved to His body. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verses 6 and 7, Paul talked about how the job that he had as well as Apollos. He said, I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. I have a job and you have a job. And if we work together, God is going to do His job. And can't you see how well that will build the church, the body of Christ? Paul told the Ephesians in chapter 4 and verse 16 that every part of the body does its share. And when it does so, it causes growth of the body for edifying of itself in love. And later, the book of Colossians chapter 2 verse 19 says that Christ is the head of the body which grows with increase from God. Can't you see God working through Jesus? Jesus working with the woman and the woman working to help bring people into Christ? Why don't we all do that from this point forward? At this time, we're about to sing the song of encouragement. And if there be one tonight that needs to respond to that invitation, we encourage you to come as we can assist you as together we stand and sing.